the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Let me ask you, if a person discovers that those pains he's been having are the result of a massive cancer, how effective in curing his ailment do you believe that Percodan would be? Percodan is a valuable drug. Goes a long way toward killing pain. But it won't do much for cancer. Morphine's stronger, but it's not going to solve the problem either. Aspirin won't help. You see, if a person has cancer, the only solution is to get it out. Now, America has a problem. We have problems. And hate laws won't help. Anti-discrimination laws won't help. Our problem is not a legal problem. Congress has been passing laws for 200 years. I would think by now we've got enough of them. You think in 200 years we've passed enough laws, like let's just say, okay, we've got enough and kind of take a rest for a while. Do you see, ideas have consequences. The text says, by faith we understand that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Our people have been taught for generations that we are the end result of a long series of accidents. We just evolved. It's just an accident. The result of a long series of accidents that we happen to be the way that we are. Let me tell you, if you tell people, I'm not going to say if you tell young people, we dump on our young people too much. If we tell people for generations that there is no God, and if there is a God, he's not our creator, that we just happened. Do you think that maybe people might get the idea that if God is not our creator, that it's none of his business how we behave?
That's right, brother Harry.
You see, ideas have consequences. The First Amendment of our Constitution says that Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And yet America does have a state religion. It is required to be taught by law. And any other religion is forbidden to be taught in our schools. Do you see, that state religion that we have is the religion of evolution. evolution is a religion. I'd like for us to see this morning, if the Lord will bless me in the time I have before me, that evolution is a religion firmly based in superstition and presented as if it had something to do with science. Do you see, evolution worships a God that they conveniently call Mother Nature, okay? They personify their God and give her a name. In the old days, she was called Gaia, G-A-I-A. That's where geography, geology come from. They called that goddess Gaia, Venus, Aphrodite. But you see, if evolutionists told us that Venus or Aphrodite or Astarte produced the universe, people would recognize evolution for what it is. So they changed her name. And they call her Mother Nature. Some of you know I had throat cancer some time ago. The doctor told me it's going to leave me with a permanent case of dry mouth. Said, nothing you can do about it, just live with it. I said, that sounds good to me. Sounds good to me. I thought it was going the other way. So I'll have to keep missing this water glass every little bit. Hope that doesn't bother you. But anyway, evolutionists create Gaia, Mother Nature. Credit their goddess with having the same creative power that the Bible accredits to God. Do you see? The evolutionist credits nature, Mother Nature, and the properties and forces inherent with nature with creating everything you see about us. Whatever has infinite power is God. And if the evolutionist is right, then Mother Nature is our creator. You see, the evolutionist is just as religious as you are. They just have a different God. They're not willing to worship the God of the Bible. But Brother Hunt, what about all of the evidence? The evidence of evolution. I want us to look just briefly at a little of that evidence this morning. You know, evolutionists like to use those big, long, scientific-sounding words. But they'll take just a common word. And if that doesn't sound impressive, they'll go to the Latin or to the Greek, and they'll come up with the Latin form of that word and use that. I was reading something here a while back, and it was talking about something called detritus. Detritus. What is detritus? I looked it up. Detritus is Latin for trash. Okay. So it wouldn't have done for all of these evolutionists to talk about this trash, so they called it detritus. But they love those scientific sounding expressions. But I was thinking a few days ago, and my mind has gone down this path more often than once. Evolutionists talk about evolution by random selection. You know, it just happened randomly. And given enough time, random selection will answer the question. And I thought about it this way. Suppose you challenged an evolutionist. And you said, okay, I'll acknowledge that evolution is a proven fact. If you will spell out that sentence for me by random selection. Somebody says, Brother Hunt, that's making a mighty big concession, saying you will admit that he's right. If he will just spell out the sentence, evolution is a proven fact, and do it by random selection. Have you ever considered what the odds are against spelling, just spelling it? You know, you can write it out in just a moment. But I'm talking about writing it out by random selection. Suppose that you had a big container of Scrabble tiles. You know what Scrabble tiles are, the little squares with letters on them. And you were going to select one letter per second and write it down and spin the barrel. I don't believe you can do more than one a second, do you? I believe you're working pretty quick to choose one a second. Now you're going to spell out the sentence, evolution is a proven fact. Well, now, it's not going to take... odds are 25 to 1. There's 26 letters in an alphabet. Odds are 25 to 1 you'll not get an E the first time. Odds are 25 to 1 you'll not get a B the second time. 25 to 1 you'll not get a... Oh, the next time. But you're not adding 25 plus 25 plus 25. It's 25 times 25 times 25 times 25. Okay. Okay, odds are 25 to 1 you'll not get an E. Odds are 25 times 25. That's 625. You'll not get an EV. Odds are 25 times 25 times 25. That's something over 15,000 that you'll not get an EVO. Now, that's about as far as I can go by memory, so I wrote it down. Okay. Sometime, get your calculator and figure it out. Now, there's no calculator that'll go this far, so you'll constantly have to drop the last three digits and add them back at the end. Okay. Odds that you will get an EVOLU are almost 10 million to 1 against it. Okay? If you go all the way through the word evolution and you're choosing one letter per second, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it'll only take you 120,000 years to spell evolution. If you're going to spell the whole sentence by random selection, you see there's something called exponential increase. Now exponential goes up right quick. In order to spell evolution is a proven fact by random selection would only take 179 sextillion years. Sextillion is a real number. It's not like gazillion. You see, it goes from trillion to quadrillion to quintillion to sextillion. Now, evolutionists say it took 4.5 billion years. It would take 40 trillion times that long. 40 trillion times that long random selection. And I believe that building a man is a lot more complicated than writing out a sentence, don't you? Do you see, that is a religion based on superstition. What is superstition? Somebody says that has to do with black cats and walking under ladders and all that sort of thing. No, superstition is any idea firmly held but unsupported by facts. Any idea firmly held but unsupported by facts. Now in school we studied all about the evidence for evolution. I remember when I was in school we studied about something called the Piltdown Man. A man by the name of Charles Dawson, not Charles Darwin, it looks the same on paper, but it's a different man. Charles Dawson, a school teacher in Piltdown, England, discovered what was supposed to be a skull that was half human and half simian. It got in all the newspapers. 1912, went all over the world, big full-page spreads. Stayed in the textbooks for 40 years. 41 years, actually. And I remember one day I was in study hall, Brentsville High School. I was reading either Time or Newsweek, one or the other, don't remember. And buried way over in the back, in the science section, was a little tiny article that explained that after 41 years, that scientists had gone back and examined the Piltdown skull and they discovered that the skull was really human. But it was not 300,000 years old. It's probably about 1,000 years old. And the jawbone really was simian, but it was brand new. And the sandpaper marks at the TMJ joint were obvious, where they had sanded it down to make it fit, and they had treated it with iron pyrites to make it look old. But it took the world's most brilliant scientists 41 years to discover that it was entirely a hoax. I have a book there at home written by James Treffield, who is an evolutionist. And he explained that he had been to London and been to the London Museum. And the Piltdown skull is on display. They've known it was a hoax since 1953. But it's still on display in a glass case. And he said, you can look through the glass case, and he says, you can still see the sandpaper marks. But it took the world's most brilliant scientists to notice those sandpaper marks. It took them 41 years to realize that jawbone was brand new, and it was not 300,000 years old. But you see, that's all right. That's all right. Because if evolutionists are right, then God is not our creator. It's none of his business what we do. And if we need to lie to support our theory, that's all right, do you see? Do you see, ideas have consequences. But then I read a little bit more later. And, you know, It got in all the newspapers all over the world. Charles Dawson had discovered this skull. And then I found out later Charles Dawson didn't discover it at all. He was not the man. I want to shift gears just a minute and then we'll get right back to that. Have you read something lately about something called the New Age movement? neo-paganism, communicating with spirits, seances, the power of crystals, the power of the pyramid, the healing power of pyramids. You know, that's a growing thing and has been now for quite a few years. The three people who originated the modern version of the New Age movement, which is simply neo-paganism. There are three names that are associated with New Age. One is a woman called Madame Blavatsky and Marie Besant, and a French Jesuit by the name of Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. They like to talk through their nose. But anyway, there were four people at that gravel pit when they were searching for evidence of evolution. There was Charles Dawson, and another man by the name of Woodard, third man whose name I never can remember, and there was a fourth man there. And after they'd already searched this particular section, couldn't find anything there, then this fourth man comes running up with the piltdown skull saying, "Look what I found over there where you looked and looked and couldn't find anything. Look here what I found." Got in all the newspapers, stayed there for a long time, full spread all over the world. The name of the man that found the piltdown skull in that part of the quarry where all those other people had looked and couldn't find anything. His name, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. The father of the New Age movement was the man who really presented that skull, and not Charles Dawson at all. Somebody said, we believe that really it was a trick. But they said Arthur Conan Doyle, you remember Sherlock Holmes mysteries? They said Arthur Conan Doyle lived there at Piltdown, and we believe he pulled a trick on those people. Poor Arthur Conan Doyle was already dead and couldn't defend himself. Okay. I don't believe that's very solid proof, do you? You see, it's a system rooted in superstition. A system of religion. They worship those old pagan gods under the name of Mother Nature and present it as if it's science. Another. You may remember when you were in school, you studied something, pardon the long expression, but they love those long names. We studied something called ontological recapitulation. Now, you probably don't remember that name. It may have been on the test. You probably don't remember the name, but you remember the pictures. Okay. You remember the pictures that were connected with that. You remember when it was in the textbooks, there would be a picture of a tadpole over here, and there would be a picture of a human embryo over here. And then it showed the development between the tadpole and something looking like a tadpole, and they said, "This is what the human embryo looks like in the womb." And starting out, they said it looked like a tadpole. And then it goes to up here. Over here, it looks like it's got gills. And over here's what it looks like at another stage in its development. Well, when that was came out over 100 years ago, there was a literal firestorm in the scientific community. Scientists all over protested. They said, "These pictures are doctored." A German evolutionist scientist by the name of Ernst Haeckel was the man that produced it. The scientific community knew at the time knew at the time that they were forgeries, knew at the time that those pictures were doctored. But after a while, the firestorm died down. And ontological recapitulation is still taught, even though they have known from the very day that was introduced that it was a forgery. But you see, that's all right, because based on their notions, it's all right to lie to support your theories. If there's no God, if you're not answerable to Him for your conduct, then it's all right to lie to support your theory. Another. In 1925, there was a trial in Dayton, Tennessee. You remember the monkey trial between over John Scopes, and there was Clarence Darrah on the one side and William Jennings Bryan on the other side. Anyway, the ACLU, somebody said that stood for Anti-Christian Litigation Union. It's supposed to stand for something else. But anyway, this Anti-Christian Litigation Union put an ad in the paper, Dayton, Tennessee, asking for anybody who was willing to teach evolution in Tennessee schools. It was illegal in Tennessee until 1967 to teach evolution in the schools, even though they had been teaching for many years at that time. It was repealed in 1967. But anyway, they put out an ad in the newspapers, anybody willing to teach evolution in the schools and be brought to trial, get in contact with us. The ACLU met with John Scopes at a drugstore in Dayton, Tennessee. He agreed to teach it, agreed to be put on trial for teaching it, and it came to trial. About that time, there was an evolutionist, a paleontologist, by the name of Harold Cook, who discovered a tooth in Nebraska, a tooth of a prehistoric man, a tooth, he said, of an ape man. And they were able to take that tooth, and from that single tooth, they were able to demonstrate that the man had heavy brow ridges, that his mouth protruded, that he had a sloping brow, and he walked all stooped over. Mark Twain was still in his heyday at that time. He said, "It is amazing what a harvest of conclusions that you can draw from such a paltry investment of facts." Well, they never did bring that up in the trial. It passed. And then a few years later, they went back to Snake Creek, Nebraska. I like that name, don't you? And they discovered that Hesperopithecus, I believe they called him, Nebraska man. They found the rest of the skeleton. They discovered that, you know, he really didn't have heavy brow ridges, didn't have a sloping skull, didn't walk all stooped over. It was a pig. It was a pig. And then later, a scientist by the name of Harold Winslow discovered an entire herd of those pigs in South America. They were not extinct after all. We could go on and on. Our time is rapidly expiring. But anyway, evidence. They produced a world of evidence. Forged evidence. misinterpreted evidence. You tell somebody you don't believe in evolution, they say, don't you believe in dinosaurs? What have dinosaurs got to do with evolution? They used to be around, they're gone. You know, there are a lot of species that used to be around, they're gone. I'm not sure all the dinosaurs are gone now. Somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Hunter, not all the dinosaurs gone. A dinosaur is a terrible lizard. That's what it means, literally. If all of those terrible lizards are gone, how do you explain the crocodiles? Alligators. We know that alligators are not dinosaurs. They're not terrible lizards because they're still around. All the dinosaurs died off 65 million years ago. But you see, anyway, there's all this forged evidence. But give me just 2 minutes till. If you let me fudge 5 minutes. Okay, I promise 5 minutes, then we're done with it. But anyway, why, if evolution is so firmly based in superstition, if evolution is a pagan religion disguising itself as science, why are there so many people who believe it? There are four reasons. There are four reasons that people believe in evolution. You may come up with a fifth. I've not been able to come up with a fifth. The first reason so many people believe in evolution is they're not particularly interested. It doesn't make a bit of difference to them. If folks say that's right, then, you know, it's in a book, so it must be right. It doesn't make any difference to me. You know, there are a lot of things that don't make a bit of difference to me. I understand there's been something called the World Soccer Cup going on in South Africa. Now, I have no idea, if it's over, I have no idea who won it. And if it's not over, I have no idea who's had no reflection on soccer. It just doesn't interest me. I couldn't care less, okay? So, most of the people who believe in evolution believe it because they heard it. Doesn't make any difference to them one way or another. Okay, if you say that's right, that's all right with me. And they accept it as being, that's the way it is. That's the second reason. One reason they believe it because they couldn't care. Another is because, well, if other people believe it, it's in the book. They wouldn't allow them to put it in a book if it wasn't right, would they? Can you imagine they'd allow them to put it in a book if it was wrong? One reason people believe it is because they couldn't care less. Another is they believe it because everybody else believes it. It's in the book. In fact, it must be right, or they wouldn't let them put it in a book. Another reason that people believe in evolution is intimidation. Not long ago, I read an article about a young man who was denied admission to graduate school because he could not get a recommendation from the head of his department. The head of his department knew that he did not believe in evolution, and he allowed, if you don't believe in evolution, I'm not going to give you a recommendation. The man appealed to the university hierarchy, and they backed up the professor, said, no, if you don't sign off to evolution, we're not going to let you into the school. If you're alert to those things, you will read articles of that nature, people trying to get articles published in trade journals and so on, trying to get advancement, or simply who are denied because they refuse to sign on. There's a fourth reason. There's a fourth reason that is much more sinister. Someone asked Aldous Huxley why that he and his people were so determined to believe in evolution. Aldous Huxley was the grandson to Thomas Huxley. Now, you may not recognize the name Thomas Huxley, but you do recognize the name Charles Darwin, I'm sure. Thomas Huxley was to Charles Darwin what James Carville, you remember James Carville? At our house, we call him Snake Eyes. Okay. Thomas Huxley was to Charles Darwin what James Carville was to Bill Clinton, okay? Charles Darwin was the theorist. Thomas Huxley was the salesman, and a high-powered, high-pressured salesman at that. His grandson, Aldous Huxley, was the author of the book Brave New World, which I don't have time to comment on at the moment. But anyway, someone asked Aldous Huxley, why are you so determined to believe that evolution is right? He gave the answer that I mentioned early on. He said, if God is our creator, then we're answerable to him for our conduct.
That's right.
And he said, we are not willing to be answerable to anybody for what we do. Okay? Most people who believe in evolution believe in it because they just don't care one way or the other. Others believe it because they have the idea that everybody believes that it's in the book. And if it's in the book, that means it must be right. They wouldn't allow them to put it in a book if it wasn't right. Others go along because of intimidation. But there are those. And these are the dangerous moments. These are the movers and shakers. The wicked are much more adept at gaining positions of power than the righteous ever have been. They're much better politicians than the righteous have ever been. Many of those who advocated because of their rebellion against God, their rebellions against the simple morality of this book.
That's right.
Let me tell you, you don't have to be intimidated by those who try to sound so scientific, by those big long words that they use, by their superstitious religion. You don't have to be intimidated by them. We've got this book on our side.
Amen.
There's a fellow up in Kentucky. His name is Ham, Ken Ham. I've been reading from him ever since he came to America. Used to read from Henry Morris 40 years ago before Mr. Ham came along. But anyway, Mr. Ham has one simple question that he teaches the school children. When teachers begin to tell them all about evolution, he teaches the children to ask the teacher, how do you know? Were you there? Do you know anybody that was there? We know somebody that was there.
Amen.
We know somebody that was there.
Amen.
And he says it just wasn't that way. And I'm going to take the word of somebody that was there rather than to take the word of some superstitious person that's just guessing, I think.
Amen, Brother Harold.